everyone. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. It's Eric talking to you. Just did a show with Rick here, and we just kind of like started the talk, so I thought I would record the introduction before I recorded the whole show. This show is all over the place. Typically, we're a little more focused. It's based on what I call eclectic DIY. I have a YouTube channel and this podcast, both called Garden Fork. So, oh, big caveat, Eric wades into the current political climate. I think it was relevant to what we were talking about, but we're all over the place with this show, so let me know what you think. Radio@gardenfork.tv. Here you go.
Hey, great snowblower video. Why didn't you show the picture, the what came off the chip going through the snowblower?
Because it didn't really look like anything.
No, okay.
I was expecting this. I thought it'd be this kind of neat tumble thing, and then being ejected very cinematically out of the chute, you know.
Yeah.
And it was none of that. It was just gray and black.
Well, hardly cinematic at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway, great video. Did the GoPro actually survive it?
Yeah. I guess we've begun the show, haven't we?
I don't know.
we can just keep talking. That's fine.
Well, you want to do your intro thing?
I'll put it in later.
So. Okay. Just put my usual bellowing in and we'll be in good shape. But yeah, that was great. It wasn't as cinematic as when, what was that? On Her Majesty's Secret Service, that James Bond movie with Diane Rigg, and they jumped the road and the bad guy didn't make it and the snowblower got him. And there was this huge plume of red going off onto the side, but he did not have a joystick for his, exhaust chute. Now that, you know, and it was, but that is the most amazing thing. Heated handles and a joystick to turn that, it's Troy built, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turn that Troy built, ejector, you know, all the way around left to right. And then to be able to direct it up and down, that's just absolutely amazing. And heated handles.
Yeah. I wish I could have heated boots and then I would be fine. But, I don't think Troy Belt makes boots.
Well, but somebody does, doesn't they? Don't they?
Someone's yelling back at the podcast right now.
Yeah. I'm sure I've seen battery powered, heated boots.
I bet Kevin knows all about this and he'll be emailing. He knows everything anyway. He's like the mysterious Mr. Answer Man of the show. But no, it's a good machine. It was the first snow of the year and it was a big one. It was probably 12 inches, but the hard part is when the snow, and I don't blame the snow plows, the town has to plow, but they build up a bank of snow against the sides of the road, you know, in the shoulder of the road. And so you have to kind of blow through that to get to your driveway, you know?
Okay. And this was up in Coleman, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's up at the house.
Up at the house. Yeah.
It just rains in New York City now. So, cause the climate crisis has just made the cement so hot here, everything melts. So,
well, yeah, you can kind of think of that as a blessing in a way. I mean, yeah, I've seen pictures in New York City where, you know, they cover cars when they, you know, the snow plows go down the middle and
right. Yeah.
You have to get out there with an ice pick, one of those picks that mountain climbers use and chip the ice off your car, dig it out.
Well, when there's a snowstorm coming in New York City, you want to park your car on the left side of the road, the street, because the plow is tilted to the right.
Well, but every side's the left side, depending on which way you're going.
The side streets are all one-way streets. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've only been here a couple times, Rick. So.
That's true. And apparently, all I managed to do is buy really expensive breakfast sandwiches, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. But the snowblower is a good machine. It's kind of, I've talked about this a little bit before, but I have a previous video with that same snowblower from last year. They asked me to make another one this year because, hey, with the first snow, you know, would you make a video? And they paid me for that. I'm compensated for that. But the current political climate of, you know, I'll just say it, the man in the White House making it okay to be unkind to others has creeped into my snowblower videos.
Really?
And I deleted a lot of it. I was just like, I give up. It just makes me sad. It really makes me sad what's going on in our country right now. So, but I deleted them. But the sad part of that is that YouTube's algorithm rewards interaction. They will surface your video. The more interaction your video has from commenting, the more it will surface it to people that the algorithm thinks it wants to watch it. And so actually the angry man comments make the video, I get more views. Those videos, my snowblower video from last year had 17,000 views last month, which is a little unusual.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, this one ought to do nearly as well.
The flip side of that is that there are really great people in the world. I think 95% of the people, I'm being an optimist here. And they take them to task. They're like, man, why are you saying that? You know, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you actually, you know, it helps you in Garden Fork to have more interaction on the YouTube. Yeah. Don't delete those people. Tell me about them. I will run your numbers up like you wouldn't believe.
My secret power, Mr. Kennerly.
That's right. I'll bait them. And although I really had trouble imagining what exactly could be the controversial about blowing snow.
part of the thing is that Troy Bilt is owned by MTD, which is a it started as a German-American machine tool and die company, much like Troy Bilt started out as a tool and die company as well. And Troy Bilt ran into financial problems, and MTD and Troy Bilt were on similar paths, making lawnmowers, wheelbarrows, things like this. They made some bicycles even. I've been to the MTD museum, and I've been to their headquarters. And for some reason, MTD has this, people think it's like this weird secret company. It's a privately owned company, so they're not in the stock market. They don't have a big social media presence. They let their brand speak for themselves. But it's much like General Motors makes Chevrolet, Buick, and Cadillac.
Right.
MTD makes Cub Cadet, Troy Bilt, and a couple of other brands. And then they will make snowblowers for other companies that want to stick their name on them. And I won't say who they are, but some of these big companies that you think you're buying you're paying for the brand name, and so they rebrand snowblowers. But this happens in every industry. Craftsman paint sprayer, it's probably not made by Craftsman.
Yeah, and you know, the same thing's true of dishwashers and clothes washers. There are probably only two or three companies in the world that are manufacturing those, and they just manufacture them and put the proper piece in, you know, to customize it somewhat to differentiate it from the others. But there's only a couple of places that are making stuff like that.
And the people there are, I've worked in a lot of corporations. As a guest, as a freelancer, or doing a film shoot there, and a lot of these places are just corporate cube. Are they called cubes? Where the people have the offices, those cubes,
cubicle
farms, and they are not happy, and all they care about is covering their butt and getting out at the end of the day. And the people at MTD, I've met like 30 of them now over 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And they like where they work.
Oh, wow.
So
that Prozac is powerful stuff. But put it in the water, make everybody happy.
And the other theme I find a lot with the angry commenters is the one was like, anything made in the last 10 years is crap. And I'm like, well, that's kind of a generalized statement there, you know? And if any part of it is plastic, that's a bad thing. And then they want it made in America, and they want it to be cheap. And so my thing there, as I've said it before here, but people want made in America at a Walmart price, and you can't have that.
Right. Yeah. So it's one of those choice of three. You can either have it cheap, or you can have it made in America. Yeah, fast, cheap, or good. That's it. Thank you. That's what I was trying to get to. But people. There is something about having a computer in between you and the face of somebody else that just makes people vicious. I've been on Quora a lot, Q-U-O-R-A, and it tends to be more civilized than most of the other.
More than Reddit or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And although I do spend some time on Reddit, but just the viciousness, and it's a sport. For a lot of people.
Yeah. And I kind of got that feeling from some of the comments, but
yeah,
anyway, they're great people. It's a really nice snowblower. And my neighbors, I've let my neighbors use it, you know, and they're like, that's a really nice machine you got there, Eric.
Yeah. Well, and it has heated handles. How does it do that? I mean,
there's a starter. It's an electric start machine. And so I'm thinking, since it's when the thing is running, it becomes an alternator or a generator, and it generates some power for the headlight and for the movement for the motors to run the chute. So I'll ask the powers that be and I'll have an answer for you. But
well, see, silly me, I thought, and this is absolutely crazy now that I think about it, that it was warming the oil and shooting it up a tube into the handles and back down to the engine.
Oh, radiant floor heating, radiant handle heating.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently I'm a little behind in my, sophisticated thinking about these things. A generator that heats it is much more sensible running the oil around.
The other YouTube observation, and then we'll move on, is, I have a video about, I was at my sister's house and she's like, you know, the towels take a really long time to dry in my dryer. And I'm like, well, your lint, the exhaust pipe, the lint, you know, where the lint goes through the screen and all, I said, it's clogged. And so I didn't have my camera with me. So we pulled out my iPad and we made a video about how to disconnect the exhaust tube from your dryer. And you go to the store and buy an inexpensive, vent cleaner pipe thing. It's a flexible pipe with a brush on the end, and you just push out all this lint, and it has like 400,000 views on YouTube. And then some commenter was like, who'd have thought a video about cleaning your dryer would get 400,000 views? And I was like, yeah, really? It made me think, think for a minute.
Well, but it's, you know, that's something that everybody avoids doing, and they know it needs to be done. They don't want to hire somebody to do it, and they're like, could I do that myself? And totally, you know, they see these kits and they go, wow. I think I posted a picture once, but we rerouted the dryer vent, which for some reason just terminated in the attic. And so it was just blowing lint in the attic
and moisture in your attic, which is bad.
And it was staining the underside of the deck, the roof, and with the moisture. And the whole thing, I looked at that and I said, that's an enormous fire hazard.
Yes.
I mean, I have no idea why these didn't go ahead and, you know, put a vent all the way through the roof. But anyway, since the dryer was on the outside wall of the garage, going into the garage, I just built a tube all the way out, laterally to the side of the house. Mm-hmm. And there's a booster vent or booster motor. I hit the,
you're talking bike. With your hands again.
Yeah. If you can see my hands here, I'm showing you the size of the booster motor. It's a pass-through vent that will suck, everything that comes out of your dryer. And you put it midway down through the vent tube, and it does an enormously good job of drying your clothes. And essentially it's taking, because it pulls really hard, it is taking the air inside your house, which normally is air conditioned, and drying your clothes faster than, you know, they would normally do, even when you heat them. And so our dryer just works amazingly fast. And then before the motor I put in the Navy, we call them a strum box, S-T-R-U-M. Huh. But it's a clean out thing.
Oh, like a clean out port.
Yeah. And, it has a screen in there to catch everything. And so we've got the regular screen in the dryer, and then we have this clean out port that we pull the screen out and clean it every now and then. So you get double cleaning. So not much lint makes it down to the other end. And then at the very far end, I just put a dryer vent on the outside of the house, and it shoots it down to the ground. And that's where we, because nothing actually gets that far as lint and whatnot, it's clean there. But I can't believe how much more efficient our dryer has become since we put that booster vent on there and pull air through the clothes dryer.
Yeah, because the dryer vent is, I think by code, they're 8 feet. The spec is 8 feet or less. But I know a lot of them go much farther than that. But that booster vent does a big deal. Yeah, you're basically trying to remove moisture from clothes. And to do that, you need to let that air go somewhere. But how many times I've been to a client's house and popped open that dryer vent and you're like, wow. And that actually is a big source of household fires is the clothes dryer.
Right. Which is the reason we never leave the clothes dryer running when we leave the house. There are a few things around the house, mostly because the dogs are in the house. I mean, if this place burned the ground, I'd just, hello, USAA. But, because the dogs are here, there are a lot of things we do not leave running in the house when we're gone. And the dryer is definitely one of them.
Do you shop on Amazon? I shop locally and also on Amazon and other online stores. If I need something very specific, like seat covers for the new used car we just bought, I will go online and sometimes use Amazon. And Garden Fork happens to have a dedicated shopping page on the Amazon site now, which is very cool. It is an affiliate linked page. We do get a finder's fee for anything that you buy when you start shopping from that page. But I list there interesting items that I think are worthy of the Garden Fork DIY person. It's amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. If you would start your Amazon shopping experience, no matter what you're looking for on Amazon, start at a Garden Fork and that would be great. It's amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. That's amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. Well, let's do a quick 180 here. Did you see the laser cutter photo that I posted on the Garden Fork discussion group?
I did. Absolutely amazing.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You get stuff. You get to play with stuff, and I'm like, boy, I wished I had one of those. And I finally learned the difference between MIG and TIG welding.
Oh, good.
So that was I've been watching a lot of home build aircraft.
You're not going to make you're not going to build a helicopter, are you, Rick?
Not a helicopter, no. Okay. But I have a private pilot's license, so I've got thinking around here. But what the difference is between a MIG and a TIG, and with the MIG you kind of tack, and then you come back with the TIG later once everything is set and you really weld the joint and that kind of thing, which I had no idea about. I knew they were different, but I didn't know why.
TIG, you can do stainless steel.
Ah.
And TIG involves a filler material and a regular and a wire, a feed wire as well. It's a two-handed welding. And it's a much, you got to really, MIG welding, if you can run a hot glue gun, you can MIG weld. I'm serious. TIG welding is a couple steps above that, but wow. Well, so back to the laser cutter, I was inspired by West Coast Eric at the rootsimple.com site. I love to do lino block printing and so does he. And he at the Los Angeles Public Library is a makerspace in the library. And there's a laser cutter there you can use for free. And he got an orientation on how to use it. And he cut some plywood. Instead of using the rubbery lino block to carve into,
Right. He
put an image into the laser cutter machine and cut out a like a woodblock print and made some prints and it looked nice. And I was like, wow, I want to do that. And the library here doesn't have one, but there is a makerspace here called Makerspace NYC. It's in right. the Brooklyn Army Terminal, which is about 14 blocks from my house, which is nice. Yeah, it's this huge, if you watched Blade Runner and there's a scene, you're in the interior of this concrete building with a canopy overhead with these not terraces sticking out made out of cement. That is that building.
Do you know what building that is? That's the Bradbury building.
Oh.
Like Ray Bradbury?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bradbury. Just a little tribute there.
All right. So anyway, there's a maker space in the first floor there, and they have four laser cutters. So I took an orientation class there last week and made my little G-Fork thing in Futura Bold Italic, which is a favorite typeface of mine and also a lot of other people's. That clothing company, skateboard company, Supreme, has really kind of owned Futura Bold Italic, but I still like it. But anyway, it was fun to make a little test thing, and it got my mind thinking about different lino block prints. I'm trying to mash up, you know, the digital and the analog, and printing is so analog to me. So that was a lot of fun.
Where do you come up with the design for it? I mean, and what? How does it output the format is what I want to know. Is it a TIFF or is it a...
It's a vector format.
It's a vector format?
It works with Corel Draw or Adobe Illustrator.
Wow, Corel Draw is still around.
Yes, it is. And I have the Adobe Suite because I do editing and Photoshop and all that. You rent it from Adobe every year.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's, I think you should pay for software because they spent a lot of money building it.
Sure.
So I will create something in Illustrator and then you can port it over to Corel Draw, I think. But my question is like I have an image of Charlie Pup, like a silhouette of Charlie Pup kind of profile. And I'd like to laser cut that onto a woodblock. And I'm not sure how to get that into a vector file format. So if any of you know how to do that, it's radio@gardenfork.tv. radio@gardenfork.tv. So,
well, almost any of the programs that have a trace form ability will be able to render a vector format for you.
Oh.
So, I haven't used Corel Draw in 100 years, but when I had my vinyl cutting business and I was doing, you know, boat names and stuff like that on the side of boats, it was common for people to bring me hand-drawn pictures. I'd slap them on the scanner and have Corel Draw trace it, and then I'd clean it up and it'd output it as a vector format.
I did not know you had this business, Rick.
I did at one time when we were stationed in Annapolis, Maryland. It actually paid for a brand new car. It was, at the time, it was an extremely lucrative business. Everyone does signs and decals and that kind of stuff. So I did it on the internet and had a pretty successful business. I'd get up around 4 o'clock in the morning and cut until 6:30 and then, go to work. So, and then I'd cut in the evening. So it was a really nice business.
Wow. You can buy laser cutters that go on your desk now there. Vinyl cutters. You can get desktop laser cutters too, but interesting.
Sure.
I wonder if
the little desktop ones are nice if you're doing like lettering for a show or something or some sort of display.
Yeah.
But for boats, you needed a, I hit it again, didn't I?
Yeah.
You need a 4 foot,
4 foot
vinyl cutter to, be able to handle the big rolls and get the big names onto the sides of boats.
That's great.
Your training in laser cutter was the number one thing, do not look at laser with remaining eye.
Yeah.
That kind of scares me sometimes.
Well, it has a safety top that goes over it. It won't do the cutting unless the lid is closed.
Right.
And it has a safety glass. that you can see through, but has been treated such that the laser will not burn out your eye.
Well, that's good.
That's also with MIG and TIG and flux core welding, arc welding in general. You do not look at the spark.
With the unshielded eye.
Right. I actually just ordered a new welding helmet. They have them now that they're clear, and until you strike to make the spark, and then there's a little solar sensor there, and then it turns on the darkened shield. It's kind of neat.
Wow, shields up, huh?
Yeah, so you can see what you're about to do, and then you hit the spark, and then it goes darker, and then that spark is so darn bright, you can see your weld, and you can adjust the darkness setting on your helmet. I think mine's at a 13, if I remember right. But
wow. Well, that's way cool. It's amazing what they can do now.
I'm going to have a new welding video coming out in December. I bought a new flux core welder. I had a Harbor Freight Tools one, and that was like my entry welding machine.
I remember that.
And then some great comments on that video. That video gives me hope for mankind, human peoplekind, because in the video I said, don't be mean. I'm just starting out. Help me. And there's hundreds of comments on there about what I was doing wrong, but it was very politely said.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
And I upgraded to a slightly more expensive welder that is DC rather than an AC flux core welder, which makes all the difference in the world. And I've been welding some stuff for friends and my own self, and I've gotten a little better at it. So I thought it was time to make another video on that.
Yeah. I remember when MacGyver made a welder out of a battery and some jumper cables at a quarter, I think.
Yeah, you can do it.
That's DC.
Yeah, you can do it with like a coat hanger wire if you're in a jam, or you know, if you happen to find a piece of arc welding, the welding rods from an arc welding kit. You know.
Oh, geez.
That is based in reality. So.
Yeah. Well, almost everything was sort of based in reality on that show, but always, you know, I figure people are either MacGyver or their McCool. What was that kid's name on Back to the Future? You know, you're either counting on things that are coming toward you, or you're able to cobble things together with the stuff you already have. So,
I've never watched MacGyver.
Really? Well, it was popular back in my
vinyl cutting days.
You were probably 12 years old or something when it was on. I don't know.
All right, one more thing, and then we'll see if we have any podcast reviews. But I've actually been trying to find more better podcasts, and one that I really like is called I Spy.
Really?
And it's by the magazine Foreign Policy.
Oh, okay. I know Foreign Policy. Yeah, I listen to their podcast, but I didn't know they had one called I Spy.
And it is, let me see if I can read the... I want to read the, well, it's got, they usually have the little thing that says what it's all about. Let me see here. No, it doesn't say. But anyway, they interview former spies and they tell a story. It's heavily edited, heavily redacted, I think. I can't always mention names. But it's really interesting. It's told in the first person, whoever they're is telling the story was a part of it. And the last one I heard was they had to steal a Russian code machine from a Russian embassy in Asia somewhere, and how they did that, you know. And it's
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of, you know, kind of derring do that, you know, will never make the paper or, you know, I'm surprised even podcast. It's amazing. I am reluctant to talk about stuff that happened in the like 70s and 80s, you know, when everything has changed and it wouldn't make a bit of difference, but it's just drilled into you. You never talk about this stuff. Back when I was in the, you know, radio communication business. Yeah.
Right. You were in the service.
Yeah. Navy, signal intelligence, or C4ISR is what they call it now, I think. But anyway, mostly tracking fleets and figuring out where they're going and that kind of thing using radio. But in fact, I'm a ham, an amateur radio operator, is because I could copy Morse code at about 30 words a minute at one time. And so when we went to the Pacific, I got a ham license just so I could play around with it.
Wow. And you can be a ham operator now and you don't have to know Morse code, I believe.
Yeah, that's a travesty. I'm one of those old grumpy guys that says, you know, that's an absolute travesty. How can you be a ham and not gone through the code? Although I did meet a radio operator a couple of years ago, and he says that he was in the last class that the Navy taught Morse code to. So it's a dying thing, but it was really interesting.
Wow.
You know what's coming back now in the Navy? Celestial navigation.
Yes.
Guys that actually stand on the side wings with a sextant, and they take star shoots, and they take sun shoots, and they take noon shoots, and they go in and they do all the computations on the now it's a computer, but they also have the books just in case everything goes to whatever. They can still navigate because they're really worried about people fooling with the GPS system. And for too long, the Navy has relied on GPS.
Right. One day someone's going to shoot those satellites down or turn them off or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, have you been watching, what is it? The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon?
No.
Yeah. She Who Must Be Obeyed loves it just because of the clothing, but they're going on she's a comedian and, they're going on a tour, and there's a picture of her in front of a constellation, an old four-engine reciprocating tri-tail airplane. But if you look at the top, you'll see a plexiglass bubble on the top. And back in the 50s, they used to carry a navigator on transatlantic flights who would shoot stars through that bubble.
Oh, wow.
To plot the plane to get it to where it was going.
I did not know this.
So, just throwing all that stuff out there.
Yeah, we throw a lot of stuff this episode.
Yeah, people don't call it stuff anymore. They call it something else. But we've been throwing a lot of it. Yeah. Anyway, your snowblower video was really good. And I just wish that there'd been better picture going through the thing. It's kind of like, you know, a picture of going through a cow or something.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. Can I move on to the podcast reviews now?
Do we have any?
We have two.
Is anyone still listening?
Yeah.
If they're really listening, they would go to Apple or wherever they get their podcast, and they'd leave a review.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 5 stars. And if you don't like the podcast, just don't bother.
Yes, please. Thank you. All right. The first one is K&L Grammy Registered Dietitian Episode 5 stars. Your interview with Rebecca was fascinating. She was knowledgeable and well-spoken. What's that say about us? I learned so much from listening and look forward to hearing her again. Okay, that's a big hint right there.
Yeah.
I got to get more guests in the show. I guess I really have to hire that virtual assistant person to kick my head. All right, and the next one is by Appraising Master. Interesting. Great show, 5 stars. These guys are so interesting and entertaining. Always have an interesting talk, even when I could care less about the topic.
Oh, man.
What's that say about us?
Well, I think it says that you shouldn't write podcast reviews when you've been drinking.
Yeah, we went all over the place today. We went from angry snowblower comments to Morse code. So
yeah, well, you know, we're coming up on the holidays. Everything's more relaxed. You going to go any place for the holidays?
No, I'm not big on traveling around the holidays.
Yeah, neither are we. We're going to, we got, the house set up, a little bit of Christmas. I mean, after 44 years marriage, could put out a lot of crap. But yeah. We minimize, we get enough for the Christmas spirit and whatnot. We'll cook a turkey out on the grill and have a nice dinner, invite some people over. We always go down to the naval station and get several young enlisted people who are stuck on base and who won't get a chance to go home for Christmas and bring them over and feed them turkey dinner. And so, yeah, we'll do that and drive them back after the ball game, whatever ball game's on. And that'll be our Christmas.
Very nice. Do you ever like want to invite them into your office room and show them your ham radio stuff and Morse code? And
No, we don't do that. Now that I have created this new perfect office, which you can see on the Garden Fork discussion group, if you want, I took some pictures. This place was an absolute pigsty, and I finally just one day bit the bullet and fixed it up and cleaned it up and spent a little money on it, and it's actually much more usable now.
Excellent. All right, so we will have a new show soon. We're going to have some more guests on. I just get overwhelmed, and then I'm like, oh, wow, it's been a week. We have to do the podcast. So working on that.
Yeah, well, I'm always around.
Yeah. All right, make it a great day, everyone, and we will see you later.
Okay, talk to you later, my friend. Bye-bye.
Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz. You can find more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes at hollowbooks.com. Our theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com. Other music used in the show is used under license from audioblocks.com.